Reading from Ephesians chapter 5 today, verse 17. Let's read this text together. Ephesians 5:17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Paul's writing here in this text, in this chapter, about our Christian life and how we are to walk. And this is the third message that we have on this particular passage that started in verse 15. This text primarily talks to us about wisdom. Wisdom in this Bible is referred to as that what we need in order to live the way God wants us to live, which is worthy of our calling. Wisdom has two aspects to it. Wisdom is quantitative and qualitative. By quantity, we mean the basic facts of Scripture, knowing the layout of the Bible, knowing where certain passages are, knowing where the prophets are, knowing where the Gospels are, knowing where the book of Revelation is, so on and so forth. But the quality of what we know is when we apply these things to our life, when we begin to understand how to live, and when we obey and submit to what Scripture teaches us, then wisdom becomes a practical reality in our life. So put another way, we can say that wisdom is content that is centered on knowing God through Jesus Christ. And the practical part of that is actually living the things that God has taught us. Paul summarizes it with the word circumspect. We talked about this word already. It means to walk very, very carefully through a minefield, through a place that is dangerous. To live wisely, according to how God has called us to live, first of all, we saw last time, involves the proper use of our time. Paul says, redeem the time because it is evil. A proper evaluation of our time is something that sadly, most people and most Christians and even most churches as a group, how do we use our time? Do we maximize the time that God has given us, 168 hours a week, 24 hours a day? Do we use the time that God gave us in a wise way? Do we make a proper evaluation of how we use our time? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about a man that is a steward in a house. The master goes away and he leaves the house to him and the checkbook, if you can use that expression. And then when he comes back from his trip, he wants to see an accounting of how the household was run, where the money was spent. And the steward, above all his responsibilities in doing the day-to-day things in the house, it says that he is supposed to be faithful. And we are given time from God to use for him. And God wants us to properly evaluate and use it wisely so that when we come into his presence, God will say we did it faithfully and wisely. To redeem time means literally to buy the time that God has given you. Because you can spend your time doing God's will and doing not God's will. If you go and you actually buy whatever your 24 hours is worth and you pay a price for it, I think you will be more careful on how you would use your money rather than just waste it away. Maybe watching TV too much, or maybe playing your video games too much, or texting too much, or whatever it is that you spend a lot of time doing it. Evaluate where and how you use your time. In the Greek, what Paul is trying to say is take advantage of the time that God gives you and maximize it. Use it to the best of your ability for the glory of God. And what that means is to do what pleases God rather than what does not please God. And that's what our text today says. Do not be unwise, but instead have understanding. That means in your brain, understand how God wants you to live. And To know how God wants you to live, you need to know what God desires for you to do. You need to know what pleases God. If you want to live wisely according to Scripture, then you need to know what's in Scripture so that in doing it, you will please God. And so this second area about understanding and doing the will of God is part of how we live wisely. Paul, when he says that the time is evil and it is short, he says it's very urgent. If we had to do everything we had to do in our life by the end of a service today, how quietly would we be sitting here right now, or would we be maybe thinking about the many things that and places that we spent our time unwisely on. And as a result, now we don't have enough time to accomplish. Did you ever have a certain amount of work to do and not enough time to do it? And then you have to prioritize your work. Those of you that work, those of you that maybe go to school, you know sometimes you have less time to do more things. And so you have to do what is most important. You have to prioritize your time. You have to evaluate your time. And sometimes the things that are least important don't get done. And you have to concentrate on what is most important. What Paul is saying here is that each of us has been called by God, given a certain amount of time and a certain job that God wants us to do. And in living our life wisely, we're supposed to live in such a way that we will accomplish everything God wants us to do in the specific time that God has given us to live. For most of us, that's 70 or 80 years. But for some of us, it's 20 or 30 years, or maybe 10 or 15 years, or however God gives you time. Remember when we were in chapter 4 of Ephesians, and Paul is talking about the destiny of the church and the reason for the church. He says, it is so that you will learn the truth, that you will live the truth, so you will not be immature like children that go anywhere the wind blows. Instead, you will be grounded in the love of Christ. The whole body will grow up as a result of the ministry that you have. Paul is talking about that when he talks about wisely using the time that God has given to you. A lot of Christians get involved in projects, in missions, in things that maybe are not properly evaluated. You spend your time there, you spend your money there. Have you evaluated if it is truly God's will for you in your life? Churches oftentimes get involved in projects that maybe are nice programs, nice concerts, dramas, plays, different kinds of social activities in trying to do good in society. What God has called us to is the proclamation of the gospel. Number one, above all, and nothing else. If you have a choice between giving somebody the gospel and doing some good, you give them the gospel. You're supposed to feed them at the same time. I'm not saying don't do the good things, but you need to evaluate your time and the resources that God gives you so that it all comes together in a package that is pleasing to God. But sometimes in our churches and in our personal life, we spend too much time with programs and things that are not really essential. That's what wisdom is. And so there are things in Scripture that very specifically are the will of God. First of all, we read in 2 Peter 3:9, God is full of patience, long-suffering. And the reason for that is that God does not want anyone to perish. God sent His Son into the world so that no one would perish, but that everyone would have eternal life. That is God's will. He says the same thing Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It is the will of God that all men be saved. And we as Christians are called to pray for the people that are not saved. So you see, on the one hand, for the unbeliever, the will of God is that you come to know the Lord. And as a Christian, God's will is that you pray for those people that are not saved. That is a wise use of your time. That is God's will. Are you doing it? Another area that we will look at next time in verse 18 is God wants us to be Spirit-filled. In other words, led by the Holy Spirit of God. And there's a certain sequence of events in your life when the Holy Spirit fills your life and controls and motivates you to live correctly. A Christian has the Holy Spirit from the moment of salvation. We call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the process through which the Holy Spirit unites us to the body of Christ. But to be filled with the Spirit means to be full of the power of God. And that occurs moment by moment in your life as you walk with the Lord in obedience, submitting yourself to what God has taught you in the Word. And then in prayer, using the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish wisely the things God has called you to do. That is what the filling of the Holy Spirit does in your life. Thirdly, very specifically for Christians, God says, I want you to be holy. Peter says in his epistle, God says, because I am holy, because I'm your heavenly Father, and because you are my spiritual children, I want you to be holy. The way he puts it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, read verses 1 through 8. It says, your holiness, your sanctification, the way you live your life, is it spent in lust and desiring the things that are in the world, the finances and the material things and the sexual pleasures in the world, or is it the things that are pleasing to God? This is God's will. God specifically wants you to live a clean and pure moral life. Are you doing it? You see, this is a wise use of your time. Okay, you can desire things in the world that are material things, and there's nothing wrong with having material things. But if that's what you concentrate all of your time and all of your energy on, then that becomes displeasing to God, and that becomes an idol. And you worship that instead of God, and that does not please God. And that is not holy living. That is not moral or pure living. The fourth thing that God requests and demands of us is that we be obedient and we be submissive to the laws of the land where we live. Now, if you live at home with your parents, God calls you to submit yourself and to obey your parents. Ephesians 6, we'll read, children, obey your parents. If you are a wife, God calls you to be submissive to your husband. If you are a Christian in the church, God calls us here further, he says, to be submissive to each other. In Hebrews 13, it says, be submissive to your pastors and teachers in your church. If you're a citizen in a city or a state or a country, God says, be obedient and submissive to all the laws that are in the country. Otherwise, you will pay a price and a consequence for that. This is the will of God. And Paul says you have to be wise. Don't be unwise, but instead know and fulfill the things that God desires in your life. And what submission involves is recognizing that every one of us has somebody that is over us in authority, whether in the home, at work, in the church. Paul goes on and says, servant, be submissive to your masters. We're not slaves in our society, but all of us have a job someplace, and our boss is our master. And Jesus said that we are to work as if we are working for him. This pleases God. This is the will of God. If you do all these things, Jesus said, and Paul writes to Timothy, all who live godly will suffer persecution. Sometimes your life will create waves in the world. Jesus said, be light and be salt. If you take salt and you put it on an open wound, it hurts. When you put antibiotics on an open wound, sometimes it stings and it burns. But that's the healing process. And God calls us to be salt in the world. And sometimes that causes a reaction in the world. Jesus said, if they hated me, and if they persecute me, they will hate you, and they will persecute you. Only, Peter says, if they hate you and persecute you, let it be on an account that you are living a godly life in the will of God. Jesus, of course, suffered. He's the example for us. And sometimes God will call us to suffer for him. And if you suffer, this is the will of God. And the result of all of these things, Paul goes on and says that we are to be thankful in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In all give thanks because this is the will of God. And so right here, Paul says, walk circumspectly. Don't be foolish. Be wise. Redeem the time you live in because it is evil. Don't be unwise, but understanding the will of God, live it. And so that is my prayer for you today. May God bless his word. Amen.